Now entering Nerdist.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Today We Learned. My name is Razzle. We got a great show for you guys today. First off, it's almost Halloween. Do you guys have your costumes ready? Do you have your treats planned out if you're not going to any parties? Are you going to pass out some trick-or-treats? Who knows? I don't know. You should plan that and figure that out. We got a great episode, guys. We're a really funny comedic actor, comedian, etc. Really cool dude. We chat about a lot of fun things, and he's got a new show coming out on TBS October 31st called People of Earth. It's a science fiction comedy about alien abductees, and it's a little fun thing there about a support group for people who get abducted. Really, really cool. Really funny concept, really funny show. So make sure you watch that next Monday on Halloween on TBS. So we're going to get into this so you guys can listen to our fun little chat. We talk about a lot of fun things and a lot of fun facts, so we'll just get into it. Today we learned number 156 with Brian Husky.
Gentlemen, let's broaden our minds.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of Today We Learned. This is going to be a fun episode. I'm really excited. We've got a really great guest, really funny guest. You've seen him on Comedy Central's Another Period, HBO's Veep, and premiering October 31st on the new TBS sci-fi comedy People of Earth. If you're not driving, please put your hands together. A warm round of applause for Brian Husky.
Oh, thanks, America. Thanks, America and satellite countries.
Yeah, we do have some South Africa, some in the UK.
Right. There's some Nerdist outposts set up there. That's yeah. Great.
We have up in SETI, we got one guy who's stranded up there who does what he can. He just, you know,
yeah.
If he gets it, if he can download, if the internet's working up there.
Listen, if you can set it up in Cuba, that's just a sign that, like, you know, that we are moving forward and the world's changing.
Working on that.
Okay.
We're working on the Cuba population.
Yeah.
The Cuban population.
No, I think that's Cuba, right. I think the right? Cuba population.
The Cuba population. Cubans. We're working on the Cubans in Cuba.
The Cuba population would be Cuba Gooding Jr., which would be just
and
one.
Mark Cuban.
Yeah, Mark Cuban. Well, now he'll be Cuban.
He'd be a Cuban.
It's all in Cuba.
I love the Cuban cigars.
Yes.
He should start. How has he not started a cigar company, by the way?
I think maybe he was like somebody was like, it's too predictable or too phallic.
Maybe.
You know, one or the other. He was like, I can't go. No, I'm not going to do that.
Brian, welcome to the show. Thanks for doing the show.
Thanks for having me.
As you know, because I told you literally 2 minutes ago.
Sure.
We like to start off the episode with the guest providing a fun fact about themselves or something you learned recently.
Let's see.
Not to put you on the spot, but...
Yeah.
Go.
Okay. Well, I did recently learn a good way to get avocado pits out of the avocado.
Okay.
So you cut it in half and you take off one lid, and then the other half that has the avocado, you take said knife and you kind of like thwack it into the avocado pit.
Okay.
And you just twist it off and lift it out.
Okay.
As opposed to kind of like digging in there and chunking it up. And yeah.
Are you a huge fan of avocados?
I am, actually.
What's your favorite thing to put avocado on?
Oh, like, I put it in smoothies a lot.
Really?
I don't care.
In a smoothie, what else do you put in the smoothie?
Beans, if you want to go
salsa
there. Beans, salsa, credit cards. Now I put in, you got your banana, you got your rice milk, you got your orange juice, some kind of berry. And then you got to put ice in there.
Yeah.
And you know what? Stop being a dick. You got to put protein powder in there.
Okay.
Okay.
What kind of protein? Soy or whey?
No, I mean,
you're pretty fit.
I got to do.
You're pretty fit. You clearly work out and drink protein shakes on the reg.
I'm just trying not to evaporate because I'm a very skinny guy. plant based.
Okay.
Pea protein.
Pea protein.
Because I'm going to dovetail into a fascinating fact about me.
Let's do this.
I make kidney stones. My body makes them.
It factories them out.
Yeah, it just takes the things from certain foods that everybody enjoys and doesn't think about, and it turns them into little rocks in my dick. And then I have to be very aware of what I eat, so I've had to change everything I eat. And I bring this up way too much. I've gone on dates where it's like, that's the main topic of conversation, is why aren't you eating? Well, I make kidney stones. baby.
How often do you have kidney stones? When's the last kidney stone you had?
Last one was a couple of years ago. I make them every like 5 years.
Okay.
And they are the worst thing that you can ever have happen.
I've never had one.
It is like giving birth through your wiener.
Through your wiener, huh?
Yeah.
Have you kept any of the stones?
No. I thought, I was like, can I make, you know, a pendant or a charm out of this? But it was too painful. But they're not. I mean, they literally are like grains of sand. They're so tiny.
I feel like, do you know CVIG? I feel like, yeah, he had one the other day, and he was, or a few weeks ago, and he was like snapping and Instagramming about it.
Oh,
and I feel like maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like he posted a picture of it, and he didn't put anything to scale, I believe.
Yeah.
It seemed like it was larger than.
Yeah. I mean, apparently, like, if you know, guys, And gals can get them too, ladies. If you don't, if they get really big, like, you know, they can be as big as a dime or a quarter. It's like, you imagine that going through the tiny, tiny little veins in your body.
Yeah.
That's what causes all the pain. So if you get one like that, they have to like fillet you open.
No way.
Yeah.
And it like is slice and dice?
Slice and dice. They have to cut your side open. They have to crack your ribs. Peel your ribs back, take your kidney out of your body, take the big chunky rock off, hold it up to your face, say, drink more water, and then they sew you back up, and it is like open heart surgery.
Have you had one of these before?
No. I think I would have led with that. But I sat next to a plane to a guy who, I don't know how we got into, we were just talking about the food on the plane.
And where are you from? How many kidney stones have you had?
How's your kidney stone count? And then he was drinking some weird drink. And we got into kidney stones. You know, I mean, everybody wants to talk about it.
Yeah.
But his buddy had just had that surgery. So I said, well, I just had a kidney stone surgery. He's like, oh, my God, are you okay? I was like, yeah, it sucked, but it wasn't that bad. But if it's bad, it's really bad.
So I'm looking here. Kidney stone disease, also known as urolithiasis.
Oh,
have you been diagnosed with that? No?
No.
You don't ask what is diagnosed. You just, I got kidney stone disease.
I want to keep it on sort of like a working class level. I don't want to get all highfalutin with the science terms.
Most stones form due to a combination of genetics and environmental factors.
Yeah. So I got the genetics.
I asked
the guy, I was like, who gets these? He was like, well, you know, usually morbidly obese people, alcoholics, drug users. I was like, well, I'm not any of these. He's like, or people like you who just have a predisposition to them.
So it's not because of like you drink calcium supplements or you don't drink enough fluids.
Well, I do have to up my water intake. I have to drink like 2 liters of water a day.
Holy shit. Okay.
And I got to take calcium citrate, vitamins.
Yeah.
And yeah.
5 years later, it's working.
Kind of. But the other day, it starts with this weird, just kind of vague pain in your lower left back.
Okay.
You're like, that's weird. And then it just kind of radiates, and that's it moving through your body and stuff. So I had that feeling the other day. I was like, oh, shit. I don't want this to happen again.
Yeah.
I'm going to get real quiet because that's how intense it is.
People are driving. And they're like, people are getting ready for their kidney stones. So it's interesting. So you talk about genetics, but real quick here, avocado. Something about avocado. I didn't know this. So it's a tree. It's native. It's from a tree. The avocado is actually a tree, apparently. The avocado is a tree that is native to South Central Mexico, classified as a member of the flowering plant family Lycericae. I said that wrong. Mm. Avocado, also alligator pear, refers to the tree's. It refers to the tree's fruit, which is botanically a large berry.
Yep.
Containing a single seed. So avocados are berries. So technically, you could have a berry smoothie.
Yeah.
With berries are. In it.
Yeah, but berry. That's the other thing. Is the insane list of stuff I can't eat. Like, nuts, beans, a lot of berries. Like,
so you can't eat peanut butter.
Can't eat peanut butter.
Oh, that sucks to be.
I mean, I can eat all this stuff, but just like if I eat some, I have to sort of like cut and not have any other stuff.
Because of the kidney stones or just because of other things?
I'm watching my oxalates and my purines.
Okay, now tell the audience what those are because I already obviously know what those are.
Your eyes sort of squinted like, oh yeah, oxalates? Let me go there. I have no idea.
Purines?
Purines? Purines
is like. I was just saying if you remembered what you said.
Yeah, plurines. Plurines or plurinates. Purines are in animal fats and animal like meats and stuff, and then oxalates is just some mineral component that if your body doesn't break it down, it does literally turn into little rocks in your body.
Huh.
So it certain those foods are really high in that stuff. So my body's like, I can't handle this much. I'm a wimp. You know.
Yeah.
That's what happens.
It just makes things.
It just makes little rocks.
Bodies are weird.
Bodies are weird.
So
I've had people have just like, well, why don't you? Like, I got an argument with someone. Who's like, why don't you just not make them? I was like, what are you talking about? Like, why don't you just, like, I don't understand. Like, you don't eat those things, but, I mean, why don't you just eat them and then do something that'll make it so your body doesn't make them? And I was like, why are we having this discussion? Everybody's like, why don't you fly to the other side of the country, not in a plane, but actually fly? It's like, I can't.
Yeah.
Yeah, but why don't you? I was like, well, are you a 2-year-old?
You can't fly?
Nah. I gave it up. The kidney stones. I'm too heavy down. Like, yeah. Weighted down. I'll do rocks.
It reminds me of that one Simpsons with, I believe it was Frank Grimes or whatever, Junior maybe, when he's at Homer's house or whatever, and there's like, he's got like pictures on the wall or whatever. He's like, you made a movie? Or, no, you've been to space? You've never been?
Mm-hmm. You've never been?
Yeah. This was on your Wikipedia, so maybe who knows? Maybe this is going too far, maybe not. But you mentioned kidney stones are with genetics and predisposition. Yeah. According to your Wikipedia,
does it have something about my kidney stones on there?
It's got something about you meeting your biological father at age 17.
Yes,
so that's a fact. That's a true thing.
That's a true fact.
Does your biological father have kidney stones?
I don't know because he passed away.
Oh, okay,
and. These happened after he was alive.
Okay.
My like medical family history is just all snippets of like hearsay.
Okay.
Nobody knows what's going on with each other's bodies.
Oh, okay.
Because there was some remarrying and, you know, so.
A lot of
and also I'm from the South and from North Carolina and people just like, for whatever reason, they're just like, I don't know. They just totally accept like that their bodies are just in terrible shape.
Not one to talk about the South, but I lived in Florida for a bit, and I would concur with a lot of that.
Yeah, there's a real acceptance.
This is what I am.
Yeah, it's like, oh, my anus is leaking blood. Well, that happens.
Shit happens.
Blood happens in it. Yeah.
But you were born in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Yes.
Right?
Queen City.
The Queen City.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a fact about that, but I read that on Wikipedia as I was pulling up these. It's the largest city in the state of North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
It's the third fastest growing major city in the United States.
Is it?
That's what Wikipedia says.
No.
It also has become a major financial center in the U.S. as the second largest banking center underneath New York City.
Yep.
Because Bank of America is headquarters there,
right.
as well as Fargo. And also, Charlotte, North Carolina, is the largest metropolitan area in the United States without a zoo.
Oh. I gotta change that.
Gotta get on that train, bro.
The zoo is up in Asheville, and it's almost like out in somebody's like in a field.
Really,
it's great.
Is that a real zoo or is
it's
that like
a real zoo? But they give them such massive swaths of land that you'll go and try to see, you know, the giraffes and stuff, and they're just they're way.
It's like a safari. Almost.
Yeah, like they're at the end of that football field of yard behind some trees. So they're happy, but the visitor's always like, I didn't see anything. Zoos suck.
It sounds like it's almost a better zoo than real zoos.
Yes. Yeah. It's like,
here's a 4x4 studio apartment for a giraffe.
Yeah. It's like, it is kind of, I feel like in the South, they're like, people have sort of like tiger habitats, which is just some like compound they have out in the woods, but they have lots of room to run around.
Can't even imagine. Just let's make a tiger. Hey, what do you want to do this weekend, honey? Let's build a tiger habitat.
Yeah, my nephew volunteers at a local tiger.
A tiger habitat.
Yeah.
Now, what is it? What's the tiger habitat entail?
I don't know. I was hoping.
No pun intended.
We're gonna good pun. We're gonna go there in Thanksgiving. And we were hoping to get a tour, but like no, they're closed down. Closed down for the. I don't know what they do with the tigers.
It's warm in Thanksgiving time in the fall and south.
Well, I mean, tigers are from a hot environment.
Yeah.
They're not Bengal. Bengal tigers are, they're snow tigers. They're not snow tigers, which I don't even know if those exist.
Snow tigers?
Snow leopard? I know snow leopard.
Let's look here. Snow tiger. I got to imagine.
There's got to be one.
There's got to be such thing as a snow tiger. There's, white tigers here. Snow tiger. White tiger. I type in snow tiger and white tiger comes up.
Okay. Snow-colored tiger.
The white tiger is a pigmentation variant of the Bengal tiger.
All right. So it's still Neetot.
Which is reported in the wild from time to time in the Indian states of Assam, West Bengal, and Bihar in the Sundarbans region, and especially in the former state of Rua.
Oh, Rua.
Yeah. It just says white. It doesn't say anything about, like, if they hang out in cold weathers.
Right.
Stripeless white tigers and golden tabby. Now, a stripeless tiger would be awesome.
Yeah, what would that would just be one big orange tiger.
Well, here's one from the Mirage on the Wikipedia page. It's just stripeless tiger.
Oh, he's all white.
It's just hanging out at the Mirage in Las Vegas because, you know, that's also a tiger habitat. Is that the one your nephew works at?
Well,
that,
if it's in Las Vegas, it's a cocaine tiger.
The
tiger's fully made out of cocaine.
He's on a bed that's made out of mirror.
Mm-hmm. And he's choked a prostitute before.
It also says you were roommates with Rob Corddry.
Yep.
How was that?
Great.
Yeah.
I credit him with getting me into comedy because before I did this, I was a photographer.
Okay.
So I was doing photography when we became roommates through a mutual friend. And then he was like, "You're funny. We should perform together." And I was like, "I've always wanted to do that." And so then we started doing stuff at Upright Citizens for Gay Theater.
UCB, for those in the know.
UCB, you don't have the time to say those three words.
Yeah, yeah. East or West, or was there a West at a time?
This was like...
I'll be honest, I don't know the difference, but I know there's an East and a West.
Well, there is. And this was before the West existed. This was like we were in the second round of classes they ever did. So I'm
now,
old.
Are the East and West in New York? Is the West out here, or is the East and West in New York? Because I know there's two in New York, right?
Wait,
or is that what's? I'm confused.
Let's
start over, ladies and gentlemen. Brian,
hey guys, kidney stones. East one is in New York, the original one. That's the original one.
Got it.
And where it is now is not where the original one was in an old burlesque theater.
Oh, okay.
That people would still thought it was this old burlesque theater, and they would wander in there and sit down to see a show. And you're like, why?
Hey guys,
a bunch of white dudes.
Give us a suggestion.
Yeah, exactly. Like, pasties, and then it was a weird mix of like Hasidic Jews, would come in with like wearing raincoats, like
really
popped up, like to kind of hide themselves.
The curls on the thing, too?
Yeah, yeah.
Going to a burlesque show,
and then a lot of Hispanic guys would come in, and one time a whole crew of them came in really drunk, and they just were baffled by what was going on because it was like a cage match, which is this sort of like an improv show where they improv to see who's the best improv team, and they get really raucous, and they just were really, really confused. It was great. So that's but now it is a massive empire straddling this country.
Huge.
Two theaters here.
I took a class.
Yeah?
Yeah. Took one, and then I got busy, then, you know.
I mean, I know it's probably a touchy subject because you have the improv theater here.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
You got a lot of things here now.
You got a lot of stuff. I know. A little empire.
A huge empire. And then they just built a really nice facility over here on Sunset.
Oh.
That UCB.
Oh, yeah, yeah, of course. The college campus.
Yeah, the college campus.
No. It literally looks like
a campus.
Yeah, it's like a little...
Nice lights on it.
Nice lights. The theater's not as... I don't like that theater as much internally.
I agree. It's definitely there's something fun about even like stand up. Like I do stand up, and they always say like there's something fun about the comedy scientists are always like you got to be uncomfortable, you got to have it be cold, And the UCB, the Franklin UCB Franklin is very much like you're on top of each other. Like it's a very much compact theater, whereas the ones over here and this other, I'm pointing for those of you that have never been, it's very outside of the box or inside talk here,
right?
Very boring to
just
the
over
listeners.
There behind, but no, it's not that
it's,
that one there,
it's almost that's like it. A movie theater set up to the sense where there's like you got the stage and then you have like a big aisle.
You have a big a big moat in between, and then the ceiling's really high, so when it kind of the comedy goes out and just touches the top of their heads enough for them, like I guess that was funny. It's strange how it totally makes sense. It's like a smaller room. It's like the laughs are going to bounce around more energy, and it's like a band. You know, you've seen a band like a big open space. You're like, this is kind of like a show.
Do you watch a lot of live bands? Do you like live music?
I do. I used to play in a band.
Okay. Yes. Broken Faces or something like that.
Bicycle Face.
Bicycle Face.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. What kind of music was that?
It was like garage rock mixed with violent films with meat puppets. And we had sort of very sarcastic lyrics.
Okay. What'd you play in the band? I was in a
played
band.
Played bass.
Okay.
Yeah, what'd you play?
I played guitar.
Rock on?
Yeah, rock on.
Rock
what
on,
kind of
man.
Bass did you play?
My first one was this weird, like, Ibanez bass that was very, like, 90s looking. It was, like, maple wood and really rounded and kind of... It looked like I should be playing, you know, backing up Phil Collins or something. But it sounded
He's going
great.
Back on tour, bro.
Oh, thank God.
Only in the UK, though.
Oh, no jacket required.
Yeah, they announced last week, he's like, I'm going to come out of retirement and go on tour only in the UK. And I'm like, fuck off, bro.
Oh, the Cabbage
come
Patch
here,
Kid
dude.
Is back.
Come play Sioux Studio. Like... He come would, tour here, dude.
Are you a big fan?
No, I mean, I like his hits.
Oh yeah.
I mean, like I love good fake horns. I love real horns. I love fake horns. I like to dance. And Phil Collins, like, he's got some catchy tunes.
He does have some catchy. It's bizarre that he came out of like super experimental Genesis,
right?
And like where he is now.
And Peter Gabriel was good too. Like Genesis had some good.
Yeah, but Peter Gabriel has always held on to his kind of like independent
like
spirit.
I seen a band open up. I seen Green Day the other day at the Palladium, which was great. And they had an opening band.
I seen them. I seen them the other day.
Yeah.
Do you work on the docks?
I do. I work on the docks, bro. I just unloaded some shipping crates full of bicycles.
Listen, I got to ask you about this murder that just happened the other day. Suddenly you're like...
Here's the thing, though. Let's deconstruct this, because... What's seen is a past tense of saw, correct?
I've seen the other day.
Yeah.
I mean, it's totally endearing, but I was like, you don't strike me as sort of like a failed boxer who's loading,
well,
working
I
on
am.
The loading docks now.
And I used to get shit on a lot by that, because I feel like I've been better at saying things.
Uh-huh.
I've been better at speaking good.
Yeah.
I've been speaking well a little bit, but it'll come out. It comes out. My linguist, like I'm working on writing a book right now, and even like in the thing, I'm like, I'm not an English major. This is
I'm not into words and how they.
I don't know phrases or clauses.
Well, but that when you said it, I was like, that could very easily be like a regionalism. You know what I mean?
I mean,
where
I'm
are you from
Michigan.
Yeah,
Bay City, Michigan.
That could be. That.
Could be. I seen. I saw.
Yeah, because they're weird. They're strange. Like Pittsburgh has bizarre little. Phrase twists
that's,
and stuff. Like everyone
that's what's
has
interesting
their own
about
thing.
The United States, like the English language, is how some phrases and words are like past tense. Mm-hmm. Like in the end, like famished is like a past tense, right? But I think the actual word is famished. Like
I am famished. Right?
I don't know. And even that is like people say famished like they're starving.
Mm-hmm.
But or they say famished like they're full, I feel like. Like famish.
What?
Like no. Famine, right?
Famine would be the lack of food.
Correct. Famish. Right. So you're hungry. So
yes.
The past tense, like famished, in theory, should be the past tense of lack of food.
But that would mean that.
Right?
So you're turning it into a verb.
Correct.
Which I think it's more, is it an adverb?
It must be.
Yeah, as a descriptive?
It must be a descriptor.
Right.
Because if you turn it into a verb with the ED.
To famish.
You're past tensing lack of food.
Right.
So then if you use it as a verb,
it would only be that if it was a verb. To famish. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
To famish something.
Famish, informal, adjective.
Adjective.
Extremely hungry, famished.
Yeah. I think just because it has the ED doesn't always make it a verb, I guess. A past tense.
That's how weird our language is.
Yeah.
Because like even that is like, I have seen.
Right.
Is the same. Like, what is the purpose of the have? You're still saying you saw.
Yeah, but I have seen, to be seen, it was seen, like... Those are all past tense. To be seen is present tense.
If anything, saw, like I saw, is almost like the I feel like that's almost more of the, hey, I saw this the other day. Like that's almost more of like the lower class of seen, I would think.
Yeah, I think so. And then if you're from like Boston, you say sar.
Yeah.
I saw her the other day, which I that those kind of regionalisms are amazing. It's like, well, how did you change a W into an R? Yeah.
Or like Washington.
Washington, yeah. Yeah. But I mean, our country is way too big. And it's irresponsible how many countries we are within this one country.
It's really bananas. It's really bananas how this is one country.
Yeah. I was just when we were shooting People of Earth, good segue, Husky.
Yeah.
We were shooting up in Toronto. And so they apparently have 30 million people in their whole country. And
in Canada.
Yeah. And in Toronto, I think they said they had like 5 million. So there's vast, there's vast swaths of land here that just nobody is in.
Now, where in Toronto were you from? I'm going to be in Toronto in a couple of weeks for, just a weekend, but.
Yeah.
Yeah. Toronto, yeah. Real quick, Toronto is the most populous city in Canada.
It's great. I had a blast there. It is what America thinks it should be. It's like the idea of like, yeah, we're polite to each other. We have a good, you know, social services. It's clean. They actually do it.
Yeah.
It's so great. I didn't have to have a car for 2 months. Just rode a bike everywhere. It's utopia. Yeah. But then it gets cold, which I don't think I could handle. But coming back to Los Angeles, where it is just boringly hot.
Yeah. And what city did it double as?
Oh, it doubled as upstate New York.
Okay.
So we shot in a studio, and then we go a few minutes outside of town for like sort of abduction scenes, or okay. You know, there's this church that we shot at and stuff a lot.
Yeah,
it's cool.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Let's talk. Let's pause there. We'll talk about that because I have a couple things about People of Earth as well. But real quick, what I was getting at is, I saw Green Day last Monday or two Mondays ago.
I'm glad you tracked that back because I don't remember what we're talking about.
And there was the opening band had a drummer, and they were all right. You know, they were young girls, a young girl punk band or whatever. But yep. I'm like, I started thinking of other bands where there was like the drummer singing, and like how boring the rest of the band is when they're not the thing. Like when the you know, and I'm like, ah, you know what? Fucking Peter Gabriel and Phil Collins really hosed us. Like they really gave drummers the idea that they could be front singers.
Yeah. Wait, Gabriel wasn't a drummer though.
Peter Gabriel was the
was
drummer.
He?
Yeah.
I thought Phil Collins was a drummer.
I think Phil Collins replaced Peter Gabriel.
Ah, I thought they were in it. Because all the pictures, you know, Peter Gabriel dressed up like a weird frog when they were doing like their bizarre sort of like concept album, you know, tours.
Maybe you know more than me. Let's see here. You probably do. I'm not a huge Genesis fan.
Yeah, we're the tech team is saying yeah. Yeah.
List of Genesis band members. Phil Collins, instrument drums. Former members, Peter Gabriel, instruments, lead vocals, flute, tambourine, oboe, bass, drum. So I guess
he just played the bass drum?
I guess.
Exclusively?
Well, Phil
Collins. That's very impractical because he's like doing the top stuff and he goes around and puts his foot on just the bass drum pedal. The total terrible.
So Phil Collins, where does it say? Phil Collins was in it. The Phil Collins, I guess, came in after I'm looking. Oh, Phil Collins was in the band with Peter Gabriel for a short spell.
Okay.
I guess, All right. There we go. For some reason, I thought Peter Gabriel, maybe that's when, maybe I was confused that Phil Collins replaced Peter Gabriel.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Anyways.
Yeah. Surprising the members in that band, like him, Bootsy Collins, B.B. King, like people you just wouldn't think were, you know, members of that band. It's fascinating. Aerosmith. And they were all like, you know, 12 at the time, really young. All the members of Aerosmith.
Genesis is really a band that spans the decades. Like it lives up to its name.
It is the family tree of all rock and roll.
Of all rock and roll.
Yeah, Genesis.
I mean,
and there's no mistake that they chose that name. You know, it's like they are the Genesis of
rock.
Yeah.
They invented rock and roll.
Totally, totally. Even after like they influenced Elvis, even though they came afterwards.
You can retroactively influence people.
Totally. Yeah.
People of Earth.
Oh.
Let's talk about this for a minute.
Great.
And then we'll talk about some Halloween stuff because Halloween's coming up and it debuts on Halloween.
Yeah. I can't tell if that's good or bad.
Are you a Halloween fan?
I kind of am. I'm into it more now.
The movies, not the holiday.
Yeah, just the series. Yeah. Strong series. I just wish that, I mean, it's amazing they have a holiday that focuses just on a movie series. Here we are.
It's, you know.
No, I'm more. I've gotten back more into it since I have a kid because it's, you know, It's amazing to watch.
Yeah.
That.
Kids dress up and want have yeah, yeah. them want to have them decide what they want to dress up as.
Yeah. And it's, ooh, man, it starts in the fall. I mean, it starts in the spring, you know, the planning and the yeah. sort of.
How old's your kid?
She's nine.
She's nine.
Yeah.
And great what age. Has, nine's a good age. I have, so good. I have a niece. I have some nephews.
Yeah.
And they're great. They're super fun.
Yeah.
What has she dressed up as recently?
She, last year she was a fairy nature princess.
Okay.
No, fairy nature queen, because she said that princesses were for babies.
Ooh. Well, it's true. She's not wrong.
That's totally true.
You've heard it here so, first, guys.
And I don't really know. It's just kind of like a mishmash of, like, you know, drapery and some leaves and stuff.
A tiara.
This year she's being Red Riding Hood, but in a very committed costume that we ordered from some Chinese company that didn't fit, and then we had to get it tailored, and at this point it's cost me just so much money.
A Red Riding Hood costume.
Yeah.
Do you dress up with her? Like, are you going as a wolf this year? I probably should.
I don't know. I'm always at the last minute. I'm like, oh shit, I should be. Oh, I'm a hobo.
You could go as a huntsman. You could go as a put on a flannel and some work boots and some jeans.
That's true. Yeah, I don't know. I might have to do something for the show that night, which I feel like a bad dad.
Yeah,
but
live tweet.
Yeah.
Live tweet while you're taking her trick-or-treating.
Yeah.
No, does she go trick-or-treating?
She does.
That's interesting in this part of in L.A. Like, I live down the street. I live in a house. I've never had trick-or-treaters. Granted, I'm never generally home on Halloween. I'll go to, like, a Halloween party or whatever. But with so many, like, complexes or apartment complexes, unless you live – like, I really wish – you know what's cool? There's a up in, like, Woodland Hills or, like, Sherman Oaks area, there's that Christmas town. The whole, I can't remember where it is, but it's like a whole, it's a whole neighborhood that really goes to town for Christmas.
Yeah.
And I wish there was like a town like that for Halloween.
Oh, there's some neighborhood over in, I want to say Studio City, that a lot of like special effects dudes live.
I'm going to look into this.
And they apparently like do it up.
Cause Halloween's my favorite holiday.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. I love themed parties. I love anything where adults who are normally boring and like, you know, a lot, believe it or not, like most adults are like, meh, they're snoozers.
Right.
And I've always loved, you know, adults who, you know, 9 times out of 10, they're, you know, they're weekend warriors or they work 9-to-5 jobs or whatever. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but they're normally very well reserved or whatever.
Yep.
And then on Halloween, they put thought or they, you know, they really go into either putting thought into their costume or dressing up as something from their childhood that they loved. You know, things like that. Like, you know, or I love when like people can get their friends to do big group costumes, like going as all the Goonies or the Care Bears or whatever.
And
I just love that, and I love the idea of like skulls and death, and I love the colors, and I just love the decorations for Halloween are just so cool to me.
Yeah.
It's such a fun idea.
Yeah, totally.
And like you have haunted houses and things like that, which are bananas. Like, I love going to them, but it's bananas. It's like,
They've gotten so intense now.
Yeah.
Like, the ones that are physically violating, there's one I read about where you sign all these waivers and stuff, and they will bind and gag you and put you in a box and all this kind of stuff.
It's wild. And it's awesome. And it's cool, but it's also like,
it's great for fetishists. I'm sure it's that time of year. It's like, I'm going to go out, get a boner.
It's
locked in a box.
It's a real interesting thing, the idea of liking to be scared.
Yeah.
Because like we were going through one, we've done quite a few so far, from friends and I.
Yeah.
And I was walking through one the other day and I'm like, and I get startled easily. Like I jump and I get scared easily. So it's one thing to where it's like, we're paying for people to, you know, scare us. Like, but we're paying for people to almost essentially reenact something where it's like, oh, you could have killed me just then.
Yes.
And we're okay with that.
Well, there is a thing, and I don't know if it falls under this same umbrella, but there is a physical / mental benefit to experiencing awe, feelings of like kind of something that's bigger than you. And so along those lines, I think they'd said that, like, you know, experiencing fear is like short little endorphin rushes that your body sort of, if you know you're safe afterwards, is beneficial. It gives you that kind of like, oh my God, that was so intense. Which I think why people do like extreme sports and all that kind of stuff.
It's got to be some form of like adrenaline. Like you feel alive. It makes you feel like,
Yeah.
Like it does definitely, there's a reaction in your brain that makes people like that.
Yeah, but it's weirdly, I mean, those haunted houses where they go that far, I don't think I could get past the imagining as like, what if the guy goes too far? Like, what if the guy they hired is the one who actually hired, you know, got hired because he wants to kill somebody or, you know, hurt somebody? I'm not going to do it. No, thank you. Stop inviting me. I'm not going.
So anyways, Halloween, People of Earth, great. Debuts on Halloween.
Oh, yes.
You're not going trick-or-treating or you might,
I don't know.
You might do something for the show. Yeah. Tell us about the show.
Okay. The show is, it's actually based on a real Vanity Fair article. So okay. These things exist. It is about a support group for people who think they've been abducted. So, I play a character named Richard Schultz, who's a very sort of uptight junior VP at a tech company. But all he does is make like the little plastic jacks that goes on the end of Ethernet cables. But okay. He says he's part of the tech industry. And he thinks that he was abducted by reptilians, he and his wife. And his wife is gone now, so he thinks that she's been abducted when she actually just left him. So what's funny about the show is that you have these characters who – may or may not have had these actual experiences, but on top of that, they have their own real world like hang-ups.
Yeah,
and so it's a good blend of that. And then we just go into that world of like what is it to be an abductee and sort of being a support group and make sense of, you know, the world.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, we actually do have aliens in the show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. So it's got a really great blend of kind of more naturalistic office style, you know, presentation and tone. And then it does have these sci-fi sort of like tropes of like there's a little bit of a conspiracy going yeah. on, and there's this other sort of like threat that we'll throw to. And then the aliens are sort of much like the office as well. They hate their jobs. They're bad at it. So it's funny. I think it's going to be really funny.
That's great.
Yeah.
Do you believe in aliens?
It has. I mean, they have to. For us to be the only ones is totally arrogant.
Yeah, right?
You know what I mean? But who knows? I mean, there might be they might be thousands of years behind us. And, you know, I don't know if they can travel to us yet or they might be way ahead of us.
Have you ever seen a UFO?
I thought so when I was little, but I think I just saw a plane.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Have you ever seen the movie Fire in the Sky?
No.
Oh, no, you haven't?
No.
Holy cow, dude. That's about this. Like, so I've seen Fire in the Sky. I have seen Fire in the Sky before.
Mm-hmm.
I saw it one New Year's Eve, like years ago when it came out on VHS. I was like a kid, and it scared the shit out of me. And there's to this day, there's a scene with like the dude he's like curled up. He's having flashbacks under the table, like in maple syrup stripping, and he's having a flashback from being abducted. But Fire in the Sky is based on it's a biopic, essentially. It's based on a true story.
Mm-hmm.
True or not, it's proven, you know. It's based on a gentleman by the name of Travis Walton. It's based on the Travis Walton UFO incident, which happened November 5th, 1975. An American logger claimed he was abducted by a UFO while working with a logging crew in the Apache Sitgreaves National Forest in Arizona. He disappeared for 5 days. Nobody could find him or anything like that. And then he reappeared walking down the road with no clothes on.
Whoa.
And there were he was abducted, and like five of his logger friends saw it, and then they took off because they were freaked out or whatever.
Right.
And all of them, the National Enquirer awarded Walton and his coworkers a $5,000 prize for the best UFO case of the year because they all passed the polygraph test administered by the Enquirer and the UFO organization.
And the Enquirer is it's an esteemed journalistic institution.
And then in 2008, he appeared on the game show The Moment of Truth and was asked if in fact he was abducted by a UFO, and he said yes, but the lie detector test determined it to be a lie.
He was on TV.
But here's something also that intrigues the shit out of me, because they make a movie about Sully landing a plane on a thing, like doing his job.
Right.
He did what he did his job. Let's make a movie about this guy doing his job.
Right.
Nobody has yet made a movie about this. Jimmy Carter, the president.
Right.
Right. Said that before he got elected as president, he said that if he became president, he would release all government UFO information to the public.
Ooh.
Once elected, he decided not to due to national security concerns. Now, the reason he said that is because there's also a thing. It's called the Jimmy Carter UFO incident.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Now, this is because Jimmy Carter reported, as governor, like seeing an unidentified flying object while in Leary, Georgia in 1969. There's a whole Wikipedia page dedicated to the Jimmy Carter UFO incident where he claims and has gone on record as seeing a UFO.
Wow. That's cool.
And nobody's made a movie about a president of the United States claiming, hey, I saw a UFO.
Well, there is. Okay, so my guy is really, you know, he was abducted by reptilians. So did a little research on that. And it's funny because they have reptilians, whites, and grays.
Okay.
And the grays are like the kind of standard, like big-eyed, big-headed, weird alien things. The whites almost look like Legolas.
Okay.
You know, they look like elves.
Okay, I know that reference.
Yeah, and then
excuse me, my glasses are falling off.
Nailed
my face.
It, Nerdist. And then the reptilians seems it's almost like a 1950s sort of like, well, we need a scary alien because they just look like walking lizard people. But there's a hierarchy that the ones without tails are just the sort of like worker bees. And then the ones with tails are in the military. And if you have wings and horns, then you're royalty. But they have the ability of shape shifting. So they can change their physical form. And they have the power of telepathy. So they can read minds.
Okay.
And so they are thought to be sort of infiltrating like high seats of government and corporates and royalty. And, you know, they take these positions. And there were some people who said that there were certain presidents who were actual reptilians. That there's some footage of Bush.
I've heard of that.
Yeah, where there's like one moment.
I remember there was like a YouTube video where someone's like talking about this.
Yeah. I was like, oh. Couldn't have edited that in or done some little CG stuff, but who knows, you know. But it's interesting just the – like going back to like my character, he has a real issue with authority because he's sort of like a low-rung guy.
Yeah.
And it's always been shit on his life and stuff. So he's very distrusting of, you know, of authority figures. And yet that's the one that abducted him.
Was the lizard one.
Yeah.
Now, so you've researched a lot of this type of the UFO or the three types of sightings.
I'll say that I researched a lot, but I watched a couple of videos.
Okay.
And I read a couple of things.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's totally, but we did glean a lot of information just in the scripts and just talking. We had a guy come and talk to us, a journalist who had done a profile of a Canadian abductee group. And we're like, what are they like? What's it like? He's like, it's just like a support group. Like, they just seem like normal people. And then once they start to talk about their issues, you really see that they're kind of wrestling with this thing of like, am I crazy? I don't know if I'm crazy, but I feel like I have these things going on. So we try, you know, in the show, we're like not making fun of them. I mean, I think in any good comedy, you do have to kind of love your characters because if you're like making fun of them or portraying them as weird or idiots or something, the audience disengages a little bit. So we all have like a real, like, I feel bad for my guy, you know?
Yeah.
But I try to play him like he's doing the best he can, but he doesn't have the best skills.
It's definitely interesting that you almost wonder, because at some point, people were the idea of being abducted.
Yeah.
Became a common thing or whatever in the sense of, you wonder if there is only these three main abductions, if people are just, you know, under duress, or if they are abducted, maybe that's why there's three. There's actually only three types of creatures out there.
Yeah.
Or if they're, you know, who was the first person to say they were lizard people or whatever.
Yeah.
Then people just compound theories onto that, or the grays or the whites.
Right.
Like, at what point did people start saying – because there's one theory where it's like with the whites with the big eyes and the big foreheads or whatever, or if that's the grays, is that they're time traveling humans, or they're so advanced.
Uh-huh.
Like, that's why they're human form. Because, you know, like even with us, you know, once you start, you know, you're sitting in front of a computer all day and your eyes, you know, dilate and things like that, and you don't go outside. So then you start getting pale and you get more smart or whatever, you know, you get more intelligent. So then your brain has to evolve. So there's that theory. But it's interesting how like there's three main.
Well,
unless there's a fourth you didn't tell us, because that's what you like. You've been abducted by a fourth, and you don't want the government to shut this podcast down.
They're called the Tootsie Rolls, and they are just like tubular brown creatures that will melt if you leave them in the car.
Are they delicious?
Yeah, they're edible. They're totally unthreatening.
I like the orange Tootsie Rolls.
They're basically like a marketing campaign that went wrong that's like watching us. But there is I can't remember. I think he's a Harvard scientist and professor who had started doing interviews and profiles on people who think they had been abducted.
Yeah.
Maybe as a sociologist. I can't remember. But he concluded after doing it for, 15 years or something, he was like, I think this is true. There are so many commonalities and there's so many details that couldn't just incidentally, be shared around.
Yeah.
And this was before the advent of like the internet and stuff. Yeah. So all of this was happening before it could be like, that people would pick up little tidbits and unconsciously like fold it into their narrative. But it is crazy to think that there are just three types and that they're so reference elements of our world that are so, I don't know, trackable. Like a lizard or an elf person or, us evolved into gooey looking droplet people.
Yeah, it's definitely an interesting. And then it's like probing, like what is with that, like versus so other funny. Ways everybody of testing.
Knows that, I know everybody asks like, about that. I guess it's maybe the probing is
like the idea, like. Wouldn't they test other things? Like, I feel like,
that is a very medieval sort of like they're super advanced. It's like, well, we still have to shove a rod up your ass.
Yeah. Like,
we haven't gotten that far.
I mean, put electrodes on your head and test the brain, test brain or test blood. Like,
they put leeches on me and they put me in a water tank and put a rock on me, see if I was a witch. Their science is not that advanced.
I sank, so they killed me.
Yeah.
I floated and then they burned me.
Like, I don't know what that, that is. If they just jam a camera up in there and who knows.
Weird.
I don't know.
I don't get it.
We can ask them when they show up.
Oh, we got one right here. Come on out here.
Right now. And a lizard person. Right over your shoulder.
Aristotle is a lizard person.
There's a I Want to Believe poster on the wall here with the spaceship.
There is. Believe it or not, in the studio, there's it's almost like a 60s UFO. Very saucer-ish.
Yeah, very saucer. Very saucer style, but it goes into all the ancient aliens stuff, which is, I mean, it's true. It's like a lot of that stuff is like, how did they do it?
How do you think the pyramids were built? Besides slaves, obviously they were slaves, but were they slaves of aliens or were they slaves of like the pharaoh? Or was the pharaoh a lizard person?
Yeah, I mean, possibly. I mean, slaves made it.
Slaves made it regardless, but who are they the slaves of? It's interesting because you almost – it's similar like you were saying, like that guy who's like – there's so many – they correlate to so many things before like fax machines and all that. Mm-hmm. And you look at like pyramids and you look at like Mayan temples and you look at, the crystal skulls or whatever.
Right.
And there's very similar structures around the globe that were thousands of years old that nobody could have really seen –
had the insight had or the insight technology
to rip off or to mimic.
Right.
They just happen to be similar structures all over the place.
Yeah. 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 I don't know. Who knows? I mean, and what does that in doing these structures, because they've talked about like, well, they're antenna, they're these
what is it? Yeah.
These,
if it is aliens, what's the point?
But then we're like with the pyramids, you're like, well, I mean, if you look at it, it's a wildly impractical, tomb.
Yeah.
It's like a massive waste of space.
Huge waste of land.
Yeah.
That would never fly these days.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like one door to get in there, and then you just like, if you lose the key, you're fucked.
I mean, they were smart enough to do other things. Like, why would they, I guess because they thought they were like royal, I guess.
And then it's the question of like, well, do they just disappear for hundreds of years? Like, did they come during that period and sort of toy around with us, and then
the one
thing I was like, well, maybe they exist. When I was researching the reptilians, I was thinking about like, well, dragons. Why would dragons be part of medieval lore? Because that happened in Europe, where there's no tropical, lizard like reference. I mean, there's like small lizards and stuff, but the idea of like these big inflated things with wings and all this kind of stuff. And I was like, did were they visited by reptilians and they saw them and that became
that's interesting.
I don't know.
Unless they found like dinosaur skulls or bones.
Yeah.
But were they excavating stuff in the ground like back then? Were they that?
I'm sure they stumble across it.
Yeah.
Maybe that's it. Maybe they were sort of like, oh, what is it? Call it a dragon. Great. Yeah.
It is interesting how you look at back now that you mention it, like you look back at old folklore where they couldn't have had any, you know, they weren't seeing these Komodo dragons or whatever,
you know,
on these, you know, in the islands and all that. So it's like, unless they seen just little lizards and they're like, oh, maybe what if this had wings and was big and had like.
Yeah. I mean, it's also the thing of. You know, human imagination can blow something up into something else. So, you know, they saw a snake and they're like, well, I have a snake with wings, and, you know. And then it just gets out of hand.
Wild.
Then it just gets irresponsible.
Then it just gets nuts. And then it breathes fire.
Yeah, and then it's breathing fire. And then,
like, the only way to kill it is the underside of its chest.
Yeah, you have to have some kind of
weakness because their scales are.
It's probably just like storytelling battles. There's like, I got to come up with a new angle on this. Because, you know. Thor over there is coming up. He's got stories are kicking ass.
Goddamn Thor getting all the girls because of his stories.
Thor. Fuck him.
Fuck Thor. So People of Earth comes out on Halloween.
It does.
One thing that's
two episodes. Backing to backing.
On TBS. What time does it air?
8 and then 9 Central. So I guess it's 9 on this coast.
And how many episodes did they buy?
They did 10.
Ooh.
I think it's gonna be really
Now, are they all
funny.
Twofers or is it just just the kicker?
Just the kicker.
Okay.
Maybe at the end. No, I think it's just the kicker. But it's got a great cast. It's Anna Gasteyer used to be on SNL and Wyatt Cenac and Luca Jones and Alice Wetterlund, who are affiliated with my theater. Oscar Nunez, who was on The Office. Greg Daniels directed the first episode and the last episode, and he's a creator of The Office, the American Office and stuff.
Greg Daniels.
Yeah.
I know that name.
Funny guy.
Yeah, really funny guy.
Yeah.
So it comes out on Halloween. One thing that's been happening for the last few years, I remember these vividly growing up. They were staples. You probably remember them as well. Did you eat breakfast cereals?
Yes.
As a kid. These were major staples of our childhoods. And then they stopped, right? They discontinued most of them in 1992.
Count Chocula.
But over the last few years, since 2013, they've been coming out in the fall like as like holiday things. But I was curious about these because I'm like, oh, that's interesting. And some of them, like I remember a couple years ago, there was Fruit Brute and another one. I'm like, well, I don't remember Fruit
Brute.
That's
a new one. There's Frankenberry, Count Chocula.
Yep. So the first two in March of 1971, the first two cereals by General Mills in a line introduced Count Chocula and the strawberry-flavored Frankenberry. Booberry, reputedly the first blueberry-flavored cereal, was released in December 1972. And then Fruit Brute was released in 1974. Now, I believe Fruit Brute was like a werewolf type of creature. Fruit Brute was discontinued by 1982, which is why I don't remember him.
Because it caused kidney stones in children? Probably.
And then he was replaced in 1987 by Yummy Mummy, which I do remember.
Which is like a tropical fruit kind of.
Yeah, like a mummy character.
Yeah.
He had a short life also, and it was discontinued in 1992. Now, in 2013, General Mills released all 5 Monster cereals for purchase during the Halloween season. Both Fruit Brute, which was being released for the first time in 31 years, and Fruity Mummy Yummy, Yummy Mummy, which was released for the first time in 21 years. So 2013 started the rise of these Monster cereals, and now you can see them in Target. You can see them at Ralph's. Yep. You can see them all over for during the Halloween fall season.
Well, good on them because they're just – it's just sugar and coloring.
That's all it is. But it's just, like,
yeah,
that's all cereals are. And it's interesting that
it used to be. I think they're somewhat better now, or they're veiled, or the packaging indicates that it's like they got it from they went out to a field and harvested it.
Some form of oat.
Yeah, and that there's no that's pure cane sugar.
Yeah,
which is still sugar. Yeah, it's a nightmare trying to give my kids stuff.
Yeah, what do you give your kid for breakfast?
She does some toast. Some
love
yogurt,
toast.
Maybe. A little bit of cereal. Sometimes she does a lot of bacon.
Love bacon.
Love bacon. quiche, these little mini quiches.
Okay, so she's like a better 8-year-old than I am as an adult.
Yeah, I am forcing it. But if she could, she would. I mean, I was disgusting as a kid.
What were your cereals? What were your go-tos as a kid?
All the Frankenberry ones, Fruity Pebbles.
Fruity Pebbles.
Cinnamon Life.
Okay, I don't remember Cinnamon Life.
Still around.
Yeah?
It's just Life with cinnamon stuff on it.
Got it, okay.
But Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Oh, that's a good one.
Love that one. King Vitamin.
Okay, I don't know King Vitamin.
King Vitamin was just corn cereal with sugar on it, and they just said vitamin. It had no redeeming anything.
King Vitamin is a brand of sweetened breakfast cereal produced by Quaker Oats and sold in the United States. The cereal entered the marketplace in 1968, and although it has changed mascots over the years, it is still in production.
Wow, yeah.
Holy cow.
Yeah, it is, there's no, I don't know where they get the vitamin. It's like, it has no, unless they just spray it with like vitamin A.
In addition to more modest amount of sugar, only 6 grams per serving, it doesn't say anything about where the vitamins or what actual vitamin it uses.
Well, maybe it's just like, well, the man who, man who came up with the cereal was literally named King Vitamin. He was a king, and he just got into sort of cereal creation, and he went and put his name on it.
That's so. I want to make a cereal.
It's easy.
George Mann, an ex vaudevillian comedic dance, I guess depicted King Vitamin on the cereal box. So it was like a picture from a real person. Yeah,
that's what. Yeah, I remember. It was very. It's sort of. He almost looks like the creepy Burger King guy now, you know, that
plastic mask,
that plastic horrifying like nightmare ad campaign. I always remembered him having like a mustache and stuff. Man, maybe I was buying some sort of like off market King Vitamin stuff.
Uh-oh.
Made by a local pedophile who's trying to rope us all in.
That's King Vitamin Men. It's spelled Men, M-E-N. King
Vitamin.
Brian, thank you so much for doing the show.
Thanks. Oh, wait. Can I do another?
You can do absolutely.
I'm going to plug something else
This is now is the time where it's your show. So where anybody can find you or whatever you want to plug.
Okay.
Go to town.
Okay. Well, here's the other thing I'm plugging. I did my own special for Adult Swim.
Oh, congrats.
Thank you. That's going to come out December 2nd.
Ooh, okay.
It's called Mr. Neighbor's House, and it is a very intense kids show.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm really excited about that. I did that with them, and that comes out December 2nd.
Awesome.
So let's recap. You got Halloween, People of Earth, take a break, watch that whole series.
Yep.
And then as that's wrapping up, you can get a little bit more of me in a very different costume December 2nd. Don't know what time.
You don't know what time, but it's on Adult Swim.
On Adult Swim.
So it'll be after Watershed, so probably 10 o'clock or...
I think they start at 11.
Okay.
So it'll either be like 11 or 4 a.m. Sure.
So just watch Adult Swim from 10 o'clock on.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And how long of a special is it?
30 minutes.
Oh. Okay. And it's commercials?
One commercial break in there.
Okay.
But it's got me, Nick Kroll does a part in it, John Daly, Steve Agee, Mary Holland... but it's mainly me and a bunch of weird puppets.
Okay. I like it.
Yeah.
I'm on board.
Yeah.
Are you on the internet?
I'm on the Instagram and the Twitter, both as the Brian Husky.
Okay.
And that's pretty much it.
I'm
also on Snapchat, but I don't need another distraction.
I do it only because I feel like I'm supposed to.
I literally only got it because my daughter wanted to play with the filters. So it's pretty much if there's a random thing of my daughter doing a filter thing, that's my funny. Snapchat. Yeah.
That's funny. That's great.
Yeah.
You're a good father.
Oh, thanks, man.
Yeah.
I try.
Should feed her more cereal, but you know.
Yeah.
She's a kid.
I'm just waiting for the new version of King Vitamin to come out.
Queen Vitamin.
Queen Vitamin.
They're going to reboot it.
Duke Vitamin.
Duke Vitamin. Brian, thank you so much for doing the show.
Thanks for having us.
Everybody listening, watch the show on October 31st and then watch his other thing on December 2nd and follow him on all those things that he mentioned and do all those
follow
things.
Follow
it, guys. You can continue liking us on Facebook with Razzle on Facebook. Today We Learned with Razzle and Dan. You can follow us on Twitter, Instagrams, all of that. Continue giving us good reviews on the iTunes, making us climb up the charts and all that jazz. You can follow me on Twitter at my name is Razzle2. Yeah, that's pretty good.
Let me ask, Razzle, is that a nickname? Is that a
my real name's Eric, but I don't like Eric. And I used to be in a punk band, and I was in the band, I was Johnny Quest. That was a punk band, and then I was going to put together a rock band, and I adopted Razzle.
Wait, the name of the band was Johnny Quest?
No, the name of the band was Joe Friday.
Okay.
But I went by Johnny Quest. I had bleached blonde hair at the time, and I went by the stage name of Johnny Quest, because I feel like... rock stars, people have like actors and all that. They have like way cooler names or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm like, yeah, I want a name. I was the only one in the band really that was went by something else, because I'm like, yeah, I want to. Yeah. Smoke and Mirrors. That's a show.
Yeah, totally.
And, you know, it's a performance. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
the whole business is a peculiar, you know, entertainment business.
Yes.
And it's like, yeah. And that's one thing like I love about LA is like, so I was in a band. Then I started putting together, I was going to do like a rock band.
Yeah.
And I went by Razzle Malone, because I'm a huge fan of Cheers. So I took Malone from that. Then I ended up dropping that when I got into comedy. When I lived in Florida, I dropped Malone and I just went by Razzle. Then Facebook makes you have a last name. So I added Dangerously, because I'm a huge fan of Michael Keaton. And
okay.
Dangerously. That's what's great about, I lived in Chicago for a bit. Doing stand-up before I moved out here.
Yep.
And like a lot of the comics and all of that were like a lot of them, you know, it's like a Razzle. What is that? Like they didn't get the idea of just going by a different name or whatever.
Yeah.
Then you move out to LA and you introduce yourself as, you know, people be like, oh, Razzle. I'm like, oh, Mr. You know, you could say your name's, you could meet somebody for the first time in Los Angeles and say your name's, you know, Johnny Lightning Bolt.
Right.
And they would call you Mr. Lightning Bolt. Like they just accept it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They get it.
Yeah.
And that's what I love about it. It's so bananas, but it's like, why not? Like who gives a shit?
Right.
Like, it's,
yeah, well, people are naming their kids like, you know, Professor Doorknob and stuff.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah, so, you know.
So, wait, what's your last name?
Guizdala.
Razzle Guizdala.
Well, Eric Guizdala.
No.
Razzle Guizdala.
Razzle Guizdala is a great name.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Razzle, too many Z's, though.
I know, but.
Right? At least Razzle Dangerously, I sound like I could be a wrestler.
Yeah, but Razzle Guizdala
sounds
like you are an international like hitman or DJ.
True. Okay, I could be a DJ. I got my headphones on.
Yeah.
I know how to press play on my iTunes.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, you and the 1,000 people and they're just watching you at your laptop.
I know how to dance and pretend.
I'm just saying
things.
With that name you can go a lot of different directions. You can be a doctor.
I could be
Dr. Razzle Guizdala.
What about an action movie star?
No, Razzle is not it's not tough.
No.
It's charming.
What
it's
could
endearing.
I change my name to, because I want to be in action movies?
Uh-huh.
I'm going to go see Jack Reacher 2 tonight because I'm a huge fan of Tom Cruise. What if I wanted to be in an action movie, what would my name be?
Well, you could also be a porn star with this name. You could be Jake Thrust.
Okay, that's good.
You could be...
Jake is a good name for an action star.
Yeah.
Jake what?
Jake Tank? Jake Force.
Jake Force. Magnum Force.
Magnum Force.
Oh, so funny.
Yeah, Jake Chunk.
Jake Chunk.
Just put
Jake.
On it.
Jake.
Because all like the good action, like those names are like
solid. They solid. Do have consonants.
Yeah, you don't.
Jason
need,
Statham.
Not a lot. Yeah.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Jason Statham. Though.
Sylvester Stallone.
I don't think if we didn't have a picture, a mental image of Statham, I don't think that name comes.
Fair enough.
You know what I mean?
Fair enough. Fair enough.
I would love it. I really want like an action star as like, you know, Robin Quisp or something. So he goes way against the grain. I love his work, but I'm not comfortable saying his name.
He doesn't seem like he should be jumping off of an airplane.
He's amazing, though. He is so fucking tough. Robin Quisp. Jesus.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Robin Quisp.
That's gonna be my new name. I'm gonna change. I'm gonna be an action hero, and I'm gonna go by that.
Oh, Razzle Quisp.
Razzle
then
Quisp.
Then people Boom. Immediately think you're British.
Oh, British. You know, I'm the new Tom Hiddleston. I'll date. I can date Taylor Swift, and it'll be T Quisp.
T Quisp.
T Squisp.
Yeah.
Brian, thank you so much for doing the show.
Thanks. Good luck with your name journey. It's really important.
Hey, yeah, if you have any ideas for my action hero name, let me know. Thank you, guys. Do all those things that I said. And as always, watch out where those huskies go. Don't you eat no kidney stones. I don't know.
Great.
That's a for some reason, I was talking to somebody the other day about.
I love you threw that out like that is a line from a.
Well, it's a line from
a song.
It is.
Is it?
Yeah, yeah. Watch out where those huskies go. Don't you eat no yellow snow?
Oh.
Is a Frank Zappa album or song? It's a right. Frank Zappa thing.
Yeah,
yeah. Because the huskies pee in the snow and don't eat it.
Well, I mean, everybody does.
Yeah,
no judgment.
I mean, it's like no a judgment. Snow cone, guys. Yeah, come on. Okay. You know, when you're hungry in the woods and you're thirsty, what's the deal?
Yeah,
and you get your proteins.
We should let everybody know we're underneath the table right now because we've gotten very intimate.
We're underneath the table,
and we've tried to wrap up the show about five times, but we keep continuing.
Well, we keep having good conversation.
It's really, really,
it's
interesting.
Really interesting. Here's something we've talked about prior before. We talked about this previously, but there's actually YouTube channels with millions of views with people just whispering.
Oh, yeah, I know. I love it. There's that whole thing of like the people who are soothed by crinkling sounds and all the...
There's YouTube channels.
That's one of my favorite things. Now my voice is going to go back up because I'm getting excited. But that's one of my favorite things about the internet is the total access people have who were just like the craziest... Like much like with people of Earth, the abductees, like they have access to communities and other people out there. It's like, I'm not the only one who is only comforted when I shove my hands in two jars of mayonnaise. I mean, that's the only way I feel safe. Great, man. I'd like to meet you.
It's a beautiful, wild thing.
Yeah.
The world and the internet.
Like, yeah.
It really brings people together in the weirdest, coolest ways.
I mean, people, God bless the fetishists, because you know the ones who are just like, I cannot get off unless someone is dressed up like a Malamar and I'm jerking off underneath a bridge. Like,
hey man,
I got to meet that guy.
You know what? Bridges are nice, dude. Yeah. I like bridges.
And Malamar costumes are hard to come by.
It's a good market to get into. If you want to get into costuming, there's a lacking in the Malamar costume industry,
especially in the fetish industry, because you have to have all the holes and the portals, and you know, it's hard.
Everybody's going to Google what a Malamar is. Thanks, Brian. Thanks, right. Everybody.
See you guys.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.